see you all this morning. In thinking about God, my studies in Philippians, and decided that this morning, you know, I want to just kind of bring to the surface of our minds God. We've read about God in the Old Testament, and sometimes when I get to thinking about that and thinking about how God is, sometimes I think in terms of like something we've read long ago, like history, for example. You know, we've read about events in history. They happen, they're true, but you know what? It's back here somewhere. But when I think a lot of times about God, you know, and I'm thinking, I get to thinking about, you know what? God in relationship to this Old Testament God that we've read about, and like God back here. But in the reality of it all, is God is so close to us still to this day. And yet, it, you know, it's something that's kind of hard to comprehend about God. We've never seen God. We haven't seen any miracles that were performed. And yet, you know, it seems like maybe in our minds that it could be something of a history to us that we've read about it from a long ago. You know, since creation, God is an amazing God. From the very beginning of time, I want you to think about this. God created the earth and everything. And in his creation of all these magnificent things that he has done, he placed man in this garden of this in this fantastic place. And what God wanted was, God wanted to have a relationship with this man that he put in this garden. And he gave him, and think about all the things that he's done for him. You know, the only thing that man needed to do was actually cultivate, was actually kind of help things grow. That was it at that particular time. And it's interesting to me, as you read about in there, that God would come down. God was actually in this garden. He heard God in the garden, you know, back during creation before the fall of man. But God, from the very beginning, wanted to have a relationship with us. Now, is that hard to grasp sometimes when you think about a God who spoke things into existence, and yet now he wants to have a relationship with us. And yet, you know, you think about man failed in the garden, you know, to follow the commands of God. And since that time, think about this, God has been working, starting that process of getting things worked out to where we could have and be with God again. Just like from this beginning in the garden when he wanted this relationship and we failed. Well, now we've got to have a way. He started working on a way for us to be able to be with him again. And that's hard sometimes when we get to think about that. You know, this God, this being, this supreme being, cares about us so much that even when they made the mistake and sin, and now that we've got to find a way or have a way to get back with him, it's an amazing thing to me when I think about it. And for the next several thousand years, that's all God does is stop thinking about. He's working on getting us back to a point where we could be with him again. Look what he goes through. You know, in very early on, and this is amazing to me, very early on, wickedness got so bad that you know what? He ended it all. And you think sometimes, if this is how it's going to be, why didn't you just end it all right here? And you want to have a relationship with some good people, just take these few people right here and have a relationship with these few good people that you've found so far. He didn't do that. God loved human race. God loved us. He loved all of us. God wants to have a relationship with a lot of people who want to be with God. And so, again, you know, in spite of him wiping out this and starting all over again with eight souls, and it's hard to comprehend. I would have ended it, maybe. Wouldn't have gone any farther than he did. But he proceeds from this point on trying to find toward this goal of giving us a way, of providing for us a way so that we could be with God in eternity. And I think about the things that He's done. He's seen His power. He showed the people His power. You know, he told them, He said, He took them to a land, a promise. He gave them, He told Abraham, this is going to be your land. And they went into Egypt. They came out of Egypt. He takes them to this promised land. And this whole thing, this promised land, is go in this promised land and do these things. Follow my commands. And you know what? I'm going to take, here it is, care of you again. God's caring for them. And you know what? He has to take them there twice. It's amazing to me. The first time they get there, He takes those people because they didn't have faith. They go back out and they come back a second time. And they go into the promised land. And look at all that God is doing for His people there. You know what's amazing? God fought their battles in that land. God is taking care of His. He's taking care of those people who belong to Him. And you know, with that whole process of things, you know, God's trying to help them out. You know, He back in Sinai before they ever got there. In Mount Sinai, God gave them the law. And the whole purpose of that law was, it's so that you will know the things that God is not pleased with. That's what the law was. And so they have this law that's been given to them. And they go back in the land of here, and He said, these things combined. He said, you know what, I'm going to take care of you. Like He's wanted to do from the very beginning, to take care of you. But you know what? In Romans 7, you find out about this law they gave him here. The law was what? Romans 7, beginning of verse 7 to the end of the chapter there, the law was given, again, as we mentioned, so that people would know what sin was. But you know what? The law didn't save them. The law didn't take care of the problem. The law, we find out as we go into here, was simply a way to help get us to Jesus Christ. That's all it was. The law. Just to help us. Notice, if you would, in Galatians, the third chapter, beginning in verse 22. Notice what he says in here. It says, but the Scripture has shut up all men under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. So there it is again. He's trying to set up this thing so that we can be back with God and have a relationship forever with Him. He says, but before faith came, notice he's talking about the old law now, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which was later to be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. What did the law do? He gave His law to help. The law was just like what a schoolmaster do. A schoolmaster would teach us and helps us get prepared for us to survive or for us to be able to make it. And all the law was a schoolmaster to help us or help the people back then get to this point of Jesus Christ. That's all that was. It was simply a teacher to help them get to Jesus Christ. That's all that was. And the law itself, and think about it, remember the law, with all the sacrificing and all the blood that was involved in that old law. He tells us over in Hebrews that all of that, notice this, all of that is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats, Hebrews 10 verse 4, to save the soul. It was impossible. We still needed that. We still needed salvation. We still needed Jesus. And this whole time, this whole thing we've been reading about it, God is working on getting us down to this point where we can have a relationship, an enduring relationship with God in eternity. And just think this morning, again, about all the stuff that God has endured for man. When I think about what He went through and put up with, I don't have that kind of patience. We would have been gone a long time ago. He endured all of those things we can recall. And finally we get down to the time of Christ. It's amazing to me, you know, when Jesus was here, and to think about it, this is one of the things, when I was thinking a bit over in Philippians 2 and verse 6, starting there, it's hard for me to comprehend. God cared about us so much that a part of God is going to come down here and live. And you know what? When he was here, it was an absolutely amazing thing. You know what? When he was here and walking about among men, one of the things that stood out, and even on some occasions, he asked God simply for the people to know that he was the Son of God. He did not have to say and go to God in prayer and ask God to help something to happen. While he was here, Jesus was deity. He was God in a body, and he had the power to perform miracles and stuff by his own word. He didn't have to go and ask the Father like to change the water to wine. And dear son, he had that power in his own being to do all these things that he did. He called Lazarus from the grave. And those miracles that we can read about in here, Jesus had that ability because he was from God. It's amazing to me. He sends him down here so that man can see him and witness him. And what do we do but put him to death? But he endured. He gave up. He gave up a life. He gave that up at where he was at, so that he could come down here and live a life in a body, so that the debt that we had incurred, the debt of sin that all of us had incurred, could be paid. What a God. We serve an awesome God. And then Jesus giving up where he was at to come down here and go through what he did and the disappointments that he did, so that you and I could spend an eternity. We find it's interesting in Colossians 2 in verse 15, we find that even though Jesus let them, and that's amazing to me, you get to thinking about this. Jesus let them put him, they didn't put him to death. Jesus had the ability not to die. You realize that? Jesus had the ability in him. He could have stopped it, he could have called down angels from heaven and stopped it, but Jesus had the ability himself not to die. He let those people put those nails in his hands and in his feet. He let them do that, and you know what? He gave his life up for us. They did not take it. He gave it up. This is something. God loves and wants to have a relationship with us so bad that he went through and permitted this to happen so that we could go to heaven one day. It's amazing to me. We serve an awesome God. He's still caring for us today. And in Colossians 2 and 15 there, it says he disarmed the rulers and authorities because they could not put him to death. He arose again. That's what that tells us. He disarmed the rulers and authorities. What an awesome God. Our debt has been paid. Debt we incurred has been paid. Think about all the things this awesome God that we serve. We haven't really seen a lot of and haven't witnessed any miracles. But this God has done for us. Totally amazing. And this same God, you know, that all the wickedness and things that he's witnessed and seen, I'm still amazed when I look at passages like, he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. So have this picture in your mind. Here's God standing with open arms to us, wanting us to be with him one day in eternity. You know what, we can converse, you can see God. You can be right here, right among us. We've gone from a garden and falling back to another existence, sort of like what they had, God being there and taking care of us like he was doing back in the very beginning. He's given that, he's gone through all this stuff, through all this time, and now stands even this day with open arms to us. The question this morning is, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do with it? Hebrews 10 and verse 31. tells us there, he says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And fall there is just simply not being prepared. Think about all that he's done. Seriously, what God has worked out, what God has endured through mankind to bring us down to Jesus Christ, and all that Jesus Christ himself went through so that we could be in eternity with our God. Today is the day of salvation. What are you going to do with it? Think about how we stand spiritually with God. We serve an awesome God. He has done so much to take care of us. And you know what? We turn and we walk away from God so many times. Well, this morning you're standing here with open arms, wondering what you'll do with him this morning. You can let us know while you're standing here.